Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a podcast called 25 Whistles Talking Football, and they all wear a whistle. Yeah, it's stupid, but what did you expect? It's a podcast called 25 Whistles.
We are back, season two of 25 Whistles. This is the first whistle. Kickoff, Kevin, blow that first whistle. And we are here, and Eddie isn't here today for some reason.
Because I work here.
No, I mean while we're doing this. Hang out.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I mean, this is where I am all the time.
I hear you. Okay, we're moving on.
You asked, like, why is he here? Because I live here.
25 Whistles with Bobby Bones, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of college football. Download the DraftKings app. Use the code BobbySports to get in on the action. We have senior football writer and analyst for The Ringer, Kevin Clark. He's been covering the NFL since he was in college, University of Miami. We talk about the Jets. Are they contenders? Joe Burrow's health, Caleb Williams, and the hype. And is Miami back? Will they ever be back? And then later on, South Carolina's running back, DeCarrion Joyner, who we got to spend some time with. He's played every position basically at South Carolina. He started to get offers when he was like 13 years old.
That's unbelievable.
At one point, I made him really uncomfortable.
Very.
I think we both did.
Two
different points.
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because I asked him the personal question.
About what?
His cup.
Oh, yeah, we both did wiener questions. But he brought it up. It was about a pile or like what happens at the bottom of a pile.
Yeah. Like I asked him why he wears a cup.
Oh, did yours turn to mine?
Yes. And then you said you would squeeze and twist.
I said if I was at the bottom of a pile and everybody's, you can hear it.
Yes.
Very dong heavy.
Yeah. Also, my nickname at college. Yeah, but DeCarrion Joyner on later on. So pretty cool. But let's get going now with the tittle tattle.
It's time for.
And let's welcome Kickoff Kevin back for another season. Welcome, Kevin.
Glad to be back, boys.
All right, let's go.
All right. Lionel Messi was with... Messi was here playing the National last weekend.
Did he even say that right?
I would say Lionel Messi. They say Lionel.
But he said Lionel. Yeah. I didn't know how wrong I was saying it. Go ahead.
I had to throw a little twang.
You just say Messi.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's why I was like, you know what? I'll just say Messi. Right. He was here playing last weekend, and the tickets got up to like thousands of dollars. So I was wondering if there's one athlete you would pay way too much money to watch, who would it be, dead or alive?
I think now where I am, I would like to go see Jordan again in his prime.
That'd be cool.
Which is cool because now we know how great Jordan was. What people think of him now, still considered the greatest of all time. For the most part, probably 60-40, Jordan. So Jordan or Babe Ruth, because Babe Ruth is like the quintessential larger-than-life sports figure, the first one. I would think Babe Ruth was the first real sports superstar that people not in sports knew. Now, Newt Rockne, I don't know the whole timeline of some of those guys. I don't know.
Newt Rockne.
But it's like, I still would go Babe Ruth and Michael Jordan. What about you?
I would definitely go Mike Tyson. Like young Mike Tyson when he was knocking people out.
Quickly. You'd be so mad, though. You spend all that money, then you watch a fight for 32. You got in a time machine for 32 seconds.
Dude, I'm mad now when I pay for a UFC fight and it's over in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But I think those days were cool because all the celebs were there. You know, like that was my coolest, my, the favorite thing about watching those boxing matches. Like Bruce Willis was always there and a bunch of celebrities always in the crowd. I'm like, that'd be a special night to be out there.
And that's what it's like now, too.
Yeah, but I feel like they were bigger stars then.
I think the stars generally were bigger.
Yeah. Now it's like, I don't know who that dude is.
There are so many people that are famous now that fame is watered down generally.
Yeah.
You got to remember, people call me famous.
That's true.
So fame is extremely watered down these days. But yeah, it was hard to be famous back then. But when you were, you really were because there were only a few outlets to be famous through. Now you can talk to somebody who's like an expert in broccoli. He's got 73,000 followers. Yeah, like, exactly. That's the broccoli queen. And I've never heard of her, but she's famous to some people. But yeah, Mike Tyson would have been awesome.
That would be great. Yeah,
he was a beast. Watching some of those when he's like 18, 19 years old.
Oh, dude, just murdering people.
Who would you take?
My first thing that comes in the head is Tom Brady, but I've seen him before. I would probably go like Steph Curry. I've never seen Steph Curry. Like prime Steph 4 to 5 years ago, draining threes from half court, I think would be awesome to see.
Yeah, that would be cool.
All right, next.
Next is Philly. James Harden is going at it with the Sixers right now. There's a lot of drama going on. What's your favorite past drama between a player and a team?
Probably T.O. and the Eagles doing sit-ups out in front of the house in the yard while all the media is there. That's funny. Yes. The fact that he would do that, that's funny. Did you ever hear T.O. when he said he didn't mean to go to Chattanooga?
No.
That's when he went to college. He thought he was going to UT.
Oh, where did we just heard about this.
I saw it on TikTok.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah. Maybe he sent it to me. I don't know. But that was interesting. He thought it was Tennessee Knoxville.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my. He ended up going to Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Going to Chattanooga. He was like, I would have never went there.
Which is a cool town, though. Chattanooga's a cool town.
Yeah, but come on.
Yeah, but not if you're going to go play football.
Yeah. That's very different. Yeah.
So I go T.O. and the Eagles. But Harden just has drama following him wherever he goes. Harden's had drama with the Rockets. Harden had drama with the Nets. I guess the only team he really didn't have drama with was Oklahoma City when he was sixth man, because he was sixth man of the year before he left. Mm. But Harden's just dramatic.
Yes.
I get it. He can play ball, but do you really want that headache on your team and pay him all that money to be a headache? So, and if it were just one time, you would go, maybe we don't know what's going on. But pretty much every team he's been with, the same situation. The common denominator is James Harden.
Did you see him post on his story, the fat man suit?
No.
He posted it on his own story.
So you know what he's saying then?
Yes. He's going to get fat.
He's going to get fat. He's going to show up.
He's going to do it on purpose? Does he do that on purpose?
Yes. And it's amazing. He can lose it all in like two games.
He should be an actor.
Yeah, he's acting like a real douche. So I think he kind of is. Eddie, anything come to mind? Drama between a player and a team?
One that was cool that to find the backstory on was Scottie Pippen. Him holding out when he was like, I could play, but I didn't.
And you know, when I saw deeper into it, I felt bad for Scottie Pippen.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Who didn't feel bad for him?
Well, when it was happening, it was just Scottie Pippen's a loser.
Exactly.
He does. But when you actually learn, like he was getting paid nothing. Yeah. He was such a big part of that team. But I remember being a kid and being angry at the ball players when they would strike. Because I just wanted to watch the games. And I'd be like, they're so greedy. They're making millions of dollars. I hate them. I hate, come back. But really, the players had to. Or the owners would have made more and more and more money.
Yep.
Not even paying their people. Like sometimes you just got to do difficult things. I just went through an extremely difficult contract negotiation. Really hard. For 8 months probably. That was at times contentious even. And I think we're probably getting on track to being good again. But if people didn't know what was going on, like let's say this show, the Bobby Bones show, 25 whistles, whatever. Let's say that makes $5 a year. And I'm asking for like $1.50 for a salary. You're like, well, that makes sense. If you're able to make $5 and there are all the other expenses, you should get paid $1.50. But if you're like, man, $1.50, that's why is he even complaining? He was making $1.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those. It's just in relation. And the ballplayers weren't getting paid.
Yeah, we don't know the scale.
Well, we did. We found out.
Now we do.
Yeah.
That's like my son now. He's 15 and he was complaining about the Hollywood strike. He's just like, how are we going to watch movies all year? Like, it's so dumb. Like, they're not thinking about us who want to watch the movies. No, you're not thinking about them who needs to get paid.
And you're not thinking about them who will be able to make more movies.
Right.
And actually be able to have a life and insurance. And yeah, I was same way. I was the same way with the baseball players. All right, what next?
Did you see Bryce Young over the weekend? He got trolled by a staffer for the media. He was going up to the podium to set the mic stand and how high it should be. And he's like, I'm 5'9", how high should it be? So I was wondering, what's the most memorable trolling moment or comment you've ever gotten?
I don't know that it was trolling, but going into the Radio Hall of Fame, they introduced me at the very beginning as Bobby Jones.
Into the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame, right. It's me and 4 80-year-olds.
It's a big deal.
And the people have flown in all over the country, and the youngest person to ever be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And they're like, tonight, you know, Harvey, manamana, Bobby Jones. I'm like, oh my God.
Now, did he just misread it?
Yes. It happens all the time. Yeah. Okay. That was just when you say, I get trolled all the time, but I mean, for me, that probably was just the one where I was like, I don't know if they did it on purpose or not, but that one hurt the most.
Yeah, I
can't prove he wasn't trolling me.
You can't.
But I can't prove he
might have been.
And Bryce Young, I've watched, you know, they do these complete packages where you can watch every snap, every drop back. I don't watch the handoffs. I'll watch every drop back. And Bryce Young's just been getting rocked because his offensive line sucks.
Hold on, back it up. What do you mean a package?
So they'll put a package of clips up, and it's like, this is every drop back from Bryce Young for this entire game.
That's cool.
So you're just watching 19 drop backs.
Wow, I didn't know they had that. That's cool.
So somebody just edits them all together. I see them on Twitter all the time. And so I've watched Bryce Young's twice, and poor guy.
Mm-hmm. Now, is he falling just because it's preseason?
Probably falling because he's small and he's going to get wrecked.
I thought that too, but then I'm thinking, like, it's preseason. You feel like you're going to get sacked, just fall. I mean, what is it?
But I would do that anyway. I think you should do that anyway.
Yeah. Oh,
well, if you're about to get sacked and you're not really Ben Roethlisberger, like Peyton Manning did that later in his career because he just didn't want to get hit anymore.
Yeah.
And Bryce Young's small. My point is he has no time to do anything, but he has such poise. Even as he's getting wrecked, I have not seen a rookie quarterback with such poise.
Speaking of poise, though, I did see Stetson Bennett III. Boys.
Why are you calling the third?
Fourth.
We don't know one and two.
The fifth. Is he, what is
we
he?
We all know who Stetson Bennett
is.
Just say Stetson Bennett.
No, yeah, but
he's got the Roman numeral.
But I don't care. I don't know what number he is.
But you don't have to respect the Roman numeral.
But I don't call anybody by their numeral.
Do the announcers say it when you're watching the game?
Or Stetson Bennett the fourth?
Yeah, probably not.
The fourth is 3 for 9 today. Yeah.
I figure if he's got the Roman numeral, we need to respect
it. I had trouble calling Chad Ocho Cinco, and that was even his name.
Me too.
Well, how about Robbie Anderson? He's Robbie Chosen now.
Oh,
I was watching the other day. They're like, Robbie Chosen.
What does he mean by that? Like the Chosen One?
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Interesting.
Meta World Peace, also tough. Oh, yeah. Always up Ron Artest.
Yes.
But I think Bryce is going to be really good if he gets any sort of help. That team is just, they're going to struggle this year. We were with them. The episode's up now of our Too Much Access with the Carolina Panthers. Bryce Young felt like I was talking to a veteran in the league. Funny, intelligent.
Good head on his shoulders.
Just a dude. And Coach Reich loved him. Obviously, I think they know they're in a building season over in Carolina.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But if I were a Carolina Panthers fan, I would love, from what I'm seeing from Bryce right now, because again, just watch him. He's just so poised. And he's been getting wrecked. Mm-hmm. I get hit once. I'm out of here.
You're on the ground for 30 seconds.
Immediately. Yeah, immediately. All right, what else?
Last one here. Trevor Lawrence recently said that he was on an all-time great team in 2018 when they won the college football championship. So in your mind, who is the best college team you've ever seen?
Two things come to mind. One is probably a little bit of recency bias, but LSU and 4 years ago with Joe Burrow, because it was Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and Justin Jefferson. Mm. At the same time. I mean, think about it. You have both those receivers. If your fantasy team has both those receivers, you're in like the greatest fantasy league team of all time. But you have both on a college team?
Yeah.
Like that is pretty amazing. I also think of USC back in 2004 before Texas beat them, the year before they got beat.
Matt Leinart?
Yeah. Who?
Matt Leinart. am I saying it wrong? Matt Leinart?
Leinart.
Leinart. There's a T in there.
You're saying a D.
You're saying a D.
Matt Leinart.
Well, you're saying Matt Leinart.
Yeah, that's how I've always pronounced it. Is that not right?
No, Matt Leinart.
Okay, Reggie Bush.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Reggie Bush.
Keep going.
No. Who else on that team? I don't know.
Who's the other running back? Thunder and Lightning. Reggie Bush and play for the Titans, too.
USC, play for the Titans.
Big boy.
Remember Thunder and Lightning? Bush was fast. He was strong.
I don't remember.
He came here. Lindell White.
No.
Oh, really?
I don't remember him.
Okay, I play here. But that Texas team is really good, too, with Vince Young and Jamal Charles.
Nasty.
But I'd probably go
yes.
LSU, that USC team, and that Texas team. Anybody? That it was before my time, but the Miami teams where they had all the first-round picks.
That was with Jimmy Johnson?
Ed Reed.
No. I can't remember his name right now.
I'll come back to it, yes. Ed Reed, Andre Johnson, Clinton Portis, Sean Taylor. There were just so many. It was like boats. And then like Willis McGay, he shows up and is like third string. It was, it was crazy. The coach who went to North Carolina for a while, he had like a bowl cut. It doesn't matter. If you wouldn't have said, we'll just cut this.
Larry Coker.
I wasn't who I was thinking of. So we'll just I was thinking of Butch Davis. Oh, okay. I was thinking of Butch Davis.
Look, man, it's a lot of football.
And you know what? We're going to leave it in there. Yeah. I didn't even look Butch Davis up. I was thinking of Butch Davis, though. And we're not cutting it out.
Okay. It's a lot of football to remember.
It's a lot of football to remember. That's right. Okay. Reminder that 25 Whistles is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of college football. Download the DraftKings app and use the code BobbySports to get in on the action coming up on Thursday or Friday. Because we're doing shows on Tuesdays and Fridays, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what it is? So on Friday, we'll do the 25 Whistles Parlay. And here's the thing I want to say. I'm thinking about just keeping track of every single bet I do, period, and just seeing a running total on it.
Okay.
The risk is I just look like an idiot. But nobody thinks I'm not an idiot.
Right. You're just a normal dude making
bets. Yes, right.
And guesses.
I went on a streak last year. Mm-hmm. On these parlays, like 12 in a row. It was amazing.
Ask Reed. He knows.
Yes. So I'm thinking about just keeping track of every college bet. Maybe like just college football bets only.
Even your live bets that you do when you're like late night?
Okay. Anything I do.
Wow.
Because you get pretty desperate in those. When you're chasing later in the night, you're like, all right.
I don't really chase. I try to gain.
It's Colorado and Utah. I got to make my money
How many
back.
West Coast games are on? Navy and Notre Dame play this week. You know, there aren't really big games that are national games, but it's the first week of games.
It's exciting.
San Jose State at USC.
Come on.
Hawaii at Vanderbilt.
Let's go.
Which they're playing quickly.
Dude, you can give me the Hilltoppers and I'm watching it.
And you just made fun of me. He projected. That was called projecting, everybody.
What do you mean?
You're like, when you're chasing, you're trying to get a game. That's you than it is me.
I'm talking about the first week of football where you're like, I don't care who's playing. Who is that? Tulane? Let's go.
If you want to take the 25 Whistles Parlay, you can check out DraftKings Sportsbook. New users, use the code BobbySports when you download the app. 21 and up in most eligible states. But age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Gambling problem. 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. See show notes for full details.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes. That it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances. And the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, this interview was awesome. Kevin Clark's awesome. I don't know what else to say because it's just an awesome deal. Three awesomes, that's how you know this is a fun interview. And so let's go to Kevin Clark. Kevin worked for the Wall Street Journal before going to The Ringer in 2016. He has a show called Slow News Day that I want you to check out, where he interviews some of the biggest names in football, including Josh Allen, Caleb Williams, and more. Great video show. Follow Kevin on Twitter and Instagram, at @ByKevinClark. It's a good one. I enjoyed it. Here he is, Kevin Clark. Kevin, what's up, man?
What's going on, Bobby?
Hey, the picture of your face on the little headshot here is deceiving. I was ready for you to come on and, I don't know, you look angry or smart or something.
Oh, my gosh. That's our 2016 headshot that I wish was eradicated from the internet. Like, I want to pay one of those companies that, like, specializes in getting bad news off of Google, but just for that headshot.
We have a company that we pay, my wife and I, that takes, like, down all of our personal information. So it's like monthly they go, all this stuff has been written about you. Here's where they say you live. And they're never right. But they can wipe pretty much anything off for the right price. And I think no money is too much to take that picture down. Good to talk to you, man.
Do they freelance?
Yeah. Good to talk to you. We have very close, you know, similar friends. And, you know, it's really good to kind of talk to you in person here. So let's start with the Jets. And are they going to be any good? Yes or no?
They'll be better than they were last year. I think that generally they had to go get a quarterback. I saw a stat a couple of days ago that blew my mind, which is that since Pro Football Focus started charting it, Mark Sanchez in 2010 was the best quarterback the Jets have had. Okay. Take that. That's one thing. The second thing is that year that Mark Sanchez was the best quarterback on record for the Jets, he was the 18th best quarterback in the NFL. That's it. So that's all you need to know about the last 20 years of Jets fandom is that they've rooted for people who are the 18th or worse at the quarterback position every single year. So they had to go out and get a swing. They had to go get Aaron Rodgers. He was the best quarterback available. They couldn't have gone with Zach Wilson or just tried to sound like a Jameis Winston type of stopgap. So they'll be better than they were. I see like 10 wins, 11 wins. This is not a super team by any means.
I guess I'm going to go back to a comment. Pennington was never better than Mark Sanchez.
That was before kind of the last 20 years when he came in.
Oh, I'm that old. I'm that old. God dang.
Old reference.
That sucks, dude. I just talked into how old I am. Okay. Okay, good.
PFF era is like 2005 and beyond, which Pennington was still on the team. It was just, I think he cycled out and he was on the Dolphins by 08, I want to say, with Parcells.
So with Aaron Rodgers coming in and, you know, they took some of that money that he gave back, which wasn't charity. He needed more playmakers around him. And they just signed a running back, a really good one, who's probably still in the backside of his prime even. But again, their offensive line really doesn't seem to be what Aaron Rodgers is used to. Is that going to be what holds the offense back more than anything?
Well, yes, and whether or not. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is old. Like, you and I are old. Like, when we screw up our calf, it takes 5 days to recover. And I don't think that's just because you're a professional athlete and you train a little bit better. You know, age is undefeated. Father time is undefeated. As Charles Barkley said, the only two things that are undefeated are father time and the blackjack table. And I think that you get into a situation where everything hurts a little bit more, hits. And if we're talking about the offensive line, if he gets driven into the ground, that could be more serious. But yeah, if you're looking for a positional unit, it is the offensive line. But then you just wonder what the expiration date on a veteran quarterback is. I think Rodgers has a couple good years left in him. He wants to play multiple years. Bobby, I mean, the thing that is probably most interesting to me is we've gotten so spoiled with this idea that quarterbacks can play until they're 41, 42, 43, because we saw Tom Brady do it. Drew Brees had an unbelievable longevity career. But at some point, some of these guys are going to age out before age 43. And you wonder if that's going to be Rodgers. You wonder if it's some of these other guys who are getting up there in years. Like, these guys have taken a lot of hits relative to what basically the old style football was. Drew Brees didn't get hit a ton because of the way he passes. Aaron Rodgers gets hit a ton because of the way he runs in the backfield and extends plays and stuff like that. He's broken his collarbone before. So I'm intrigued to see how Rodgers ages. He was not particularly great last year. And I think that some of that was, I think his drop, the wide receivers, the drop number went from 13 to 40 last year. He didn't have Devontae Adams as a safety valve. So there's a lot of kind of built-in excuses that Rodgers had last year, but I didn't see that kind of MVP form. So I think it's a combination of offensive line, whether or not Rodgers ages well in the next year and a half. I think those are the things to watch as far as what could hold the Jets back. Because otherwise, you know, like the defense with the Jets, like it reminds me a little bit of Brady with the Bucks, where it's a fast front seven, it's young guys everywhere, one of the best cornerbacks in football in Sauce Gardner. No real questions there, except to say that the AFC is stacked and a bunch of teams have talented rosters like that.
It's interesting the point you bring up about these quarterbacks giving us an unfair expectation of other quarterbacks, with Brady playing in his 40s, Rodgers playing in his 40s, 2 years removed from an MVP too. So, you know, even this older version of Aaron Rodgers has been really good. And I think about when Adrian Peterson came back from his, what, ACL injury so quickly, mm-hmm. then every running back started to be compared to unfairly to yeah. Adrian Peterson's crazy fast recovery. And if you didn't recover or you didn't play to 41, 42 years old, people would hold that against him.
Yeah, and it's funny because I just saw a study this morning that, like, I guess European doctors are like, wait, NFL teams are doing what with ACLs and what with Achilles injuries? And, like, they rush them back so much at the NFL, and it becomes unfair. And if a guy is struggling now, it just becomes, and I'll give you a great example. You want to talk about the Packers. David Bakhtiari is a guy who had a pretty serious lower body injury. And from the time he was, quote-unquote, medically cleared, everybody's saying, well, where's Bakhtiari? I don't know. Different people heal at different points of time. And like the idea that these guys need to get rushed back on the field immediately. And if you don't, you should be, I mean, Michael Thomas in New Orleans, another example, these guys get killed for not coming back. And I just think that's maybe a old school mentality of like, as soon as you're ready, just go, you play hurt. You're never, the old line is you're never 100% in the NFL, blah, blah, blah. Like some of these guys are trying to have longevity in their career. And the idea you need to rush back from a serious injury, whether that's Achilles, ACL, broken leg or whatever, it's very strange. And it kind of goes against a lot of the sports science innovations of the last decade. It's kind of the last old school thing we do in the NFL, Bobby.
I think Anthony Rizzo from the Yankees had that concussion.
Yeah.
And he then played for, I don't know, 50
like
games.
Months.
Yes, 50. Well, however, 50 games or so. Not that's that number's not exactly right. Then he's like, "Well, my batting average has only been 100, and I think I'm going to go ahead and take a break." And you're like, "Wow, whomever that was that pushed probably himself. He's his own guy, obviously. But you're right; it's a culture thing, and it probably set him back way farther than had he just went and addressed it originally.
100%. It is a culture thing because I've heard. I remember I've been covering this league since I was in college, and you've heard stories of guys got a bum knee and his coach says, hey, listen, we're going to go in a different direction if you're not out there today. And then you have to go and rush it. And, you know, Rizzo is a different case because he's got a lot of money coming to him. And that's guaranteed. But it's a culture thing. You're in New York City. I live right about 25 minutes north of Yankee Stadium. And everybody here talks about Aaron Judge's performance, and Anthony Rizzo's performance, and Gleyber Torres' performance every single morning. And you don't want to remove yourself from that. There's a ton of pressure that goes along with that, and a ton of pressure in the community. I saw Anthony Rizzo at a Rangers game last summer. You know, people will talk to him and say, hey, good or bad, you know, here's what you're doing. And so you understand how that all builds on itself. And the other thing is I've learned over the past few years that the number one bond or the number one motivating force for guys in sports is their teammates. And there's been a lot of studies on this that basically they stop listening to the coach after a while. They stop listening to the fans after a while. GM, they never cared about. They care about the guy in the locker next to them or the guy in the position next to them. And so there's pressure from all sides. The only thing there's not ever pressure on is sitting out. And that's that I think is no one ever says you should sit out. That's why I was actually impressed the other day when Jamar Chase said that Joe Burrow should sit a couple of games to start the season just to make sure he's healthy. Nobody ever says that. And so the fact that some players are becoming a little more smart on that is actually kind of a watershed moment.
Go to Joe Burrow. We saw the clip, and then every doctor that's not even really a doctor starts diagnosing him within 15 seconds.
Twitter doctors. I love it.
So where is he now? And they obviously have given us more information, but what do you know as of today?
So he's trending the way he should be. I was at practice for 2 days, 2 weeks ago, and everything, nobody would say it because they're kind of trying to be I wouldn't even say optimistic. They're just trying to keep it under wraps because they don't want to rush him, right? But it seems like everything is trending towards week one. He's a tough guy. What I will say is that I wouldn't expect, and this happened last year and the year before, I wouldn't expect to see Joe Burrow spreading five guys out and scoring 100 touchdowns a game in week one. I talked to him a couple of years ago, and it was after his ACL. He's kind of struggling in August, September, and he had told me that vision, listen, this is no secret, vision is his strength, and his best thing, his best attribute is spreading guys out, reading the defense, and picking them apart. And what happens when you're out of practice, whether that's via ACL a couple of years ago, last year the appendix surgery, this year it's the calf, is you don't have the same sharpness. It's like any of us returning to our jobs after a long layoff. You don't have the same sharpness. And so I think you might see more interceptions, might see more confusion, and just the inability to read a defense like you would be able to in November and December. There's a learning curve when your entire strength is being able to see everything clearly, because your eyes just aren't sped up like that. So I think he's going to be back in September. I think he's going to play all the games he's scheduled to play. But I do think if there's any indication of the past few years, it might be another slow start for the Bengals.
You just mentioned three injuries over the last 3 years that Joe Burrow's had. I don't really consider Joe Burrow injury prone, but he's had something all 3 years. When you lay it out like that, I'm like, dang, he's had an ailment all three seasons. How do you feel about Joe Burrow as being injury prone?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, he's tough as hell, which sometimes works against guys. I remember, obviously a different deal, but Andrew Luck used to say he wanted to get hit on the first series of the game every time, because he just wanted to get that out of the way, feel like it's football, and go from there. Sometimes these tough guys, it's to their detriment, and you'd almost wish you had a Kyler Murray who, because of his size, just says, you know what, I'm just going to bail on this play and lay down and not get hit. Joe Burrow's not that guy. He's tough, and he's willing to take hits, and sometimes that's to a detriment. You know, Brandon Bean, the GM of the Bills, told me last year that the one thing he'll get on Josh Allen about, it's not bad interceptions, it's taking bad hits and going and trucking Kyle Van Noy in Miami a couple of years ago, which I think the entire Bills staff was all pissed off about, because they were just like, why are you doing it? You don't have to do this. Just run out of bounds. And so Joe Burrow is that kind of guy. He likes taking hits. He likes showing his toughness. He's been like that for a really long time. There's a story in Bruce Feldman's book about how he started a practice fight at LSU because there was another fight on the other side of the field that he wasn't involved in. He felt bad about not being in the fight, so he started another fight in the next play. Like, that's just the way he's wired, right? And so I don't think if it's three separate injuries, right? ACL, calf, appendix, from what I understand, you probably can't even do anything about. I don't know if football can cause that. I think it's just kind of a human injury, because I know a lot of people who had appendix surgery and they didn't play football, right? But I think that over time, the more hits you take, and Joe Burrow's okay with taking them, the likelier it is that you're going to get hurt. And so I don't think he's injury prone. I just think those type of tough guys are something to watch, especially when you talk about Joe Burrow. He's getting more muscular, but he's still not Cam Newton, Josh Allen. He's not one of those absolute specimens as far as body type goes. He's getting bigger. I saw him in the locker room the other day. He's actually quite jacked. But it's not, it still hurts when he takes a big NFL hit.
Kevin Clark, it's Eddie here. I got a question for you.
Why'd you say his name like that?
Well, I just want people to know who I'm talking to.
You can say your name. He knows
Kevin Clark,
who he
Eddie
is.
Garcia here. What's up, man?
Oh, my God.
Eddie, what's up, brother?
Hey, question for you. I'm a huge Cowboys fan, but there are two things that are keeping me from saying this is our year. It's Dak Prescott and it's Tony Pollard. Where should I feel about these two dudes?
You already say
year?
It's their year. You've said that to me 20 times. You just don't want to be in front of Kevin saying that.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. Wait, let's break this down. Why is Tony Pollard one of, you don't think he's good enough?
I want to ask you that. Do you think he's good enough to carry the backfield for the Dallas Cowboys?
Yes. I'm not a running backs don't matter guy. I think running backs matter quite a bit. But I also think that there's a lot of things that matter more. Offensive line, run blocking, getting Zach Martin back in camp is hugely important, and quarterback play. And by the way, also just offensive coordinator, which I think Kellen Moore has been overrated for a number of years. And the number one thing people asked me kind of off the record, actually, let me rephrase that. The number one thing coaches asked me off the record was, what the hell is going on with Sean Payton? But then the number two thing is Kellen Moore going to work with Justin Herbert? And I think there's some skepticism. I mean, Kellen Moore was just running the Jason Garrett, Scott Linehan offense with Mike McCarthy, right? And I think that there was some probably philosophical mix up there last year. I think Dak having the McCarthy offense with Brian Schottenheimer will simplify things. I think that Dak in itself, I think he's a really good quarterback. I think he's enough to win a Super Bowl. I think the talent there is insane. CeeDee Lamb, I think, was the ninth best receiver last year by yards per route run, which is a hugely predictive statistic. This is elite talent. The defense, we know Dan Quinn, Micah Parsons, like we know they had the pieces to be elite. I really actually liked Smith, the big defensive lineman who they got in there. I think things are coming together. Dak Prescott doesn't have to be the elite of the elite for them to win the NFC. The NFC is barren. And it's only going to take a couple of, you know, games in December, and all of a sudden, you know, a couple fumble luck, couple injury luck, whatever, and they can get a couple easy playoff games. They can make the Super Bowl easily. They've got the talent. I think Dak Prescott can win a Super Bowl, and I think he can help Tony Pollard win a Super Bowl. Woo! In fact, I go as far to say, Eddie.
So stupid.
The Cowboys are my pick out of the NFC.
Let's go! You heard him. You heard Kevin Clark say that right now, Bones.
Yeah, but you were not honest about your feeling.
No. I was setting him up, Bones. That's what you do.
You set him up for what?
You set him up. You're like, hey, man, I don't know if we're good enough. And then look, what did he come out with? We're good enough to win the NFC, baby.
He baited me.
Speaking of that division, the Commanders, yeah, Dan Snyder's not the owner anymore. Have you seen a difference in last year at a Dan Snyder versus a, you know, this new Josh Harris team?
So I saw it. It's actually kind of funny. I was there for 2 days last week. Outside the lines, outside the field, night and day. Thousands of fans in the stands, everybody wearing Commanders gear, everybody's excited, they're turning people away, all that stuff, right? On the field, same old team. Sam Howell doesn't like he's a long-term answer. Maybe he'll develop into something. I just didn't like what he was doing in practice, hold on to the ball forever, which, by the way, all three quarterbacks there do. The talent is just not where it needs to be. There's only a handful of players. I think Terry McLaurin and two of the defensive linemen or front seven guys are the only players who are under contract for more than 2 years, who aren't rookies. And that's probably a good thing. There's just no talent there. But I also don't think anybody cares. Like, Josh Harris buying that team is the most transformational single transaction for a franchise of any team in the last 20 years. And maybe even like 30 years, 40 years. I don't know how far you want to
since
go back.
Since Chad Pennington played. That's right.
No, it's just like, you know, I have a bunch of family in Washington, right? And the way they talk about the Washington team of the early 90s, it's like, they're from a different universe. You know, I was listening to a Bill Parcells interview a couple of weeks ago, and he was like, oh, you know how crazy those games were and how loud that crowd was at RFK. And I was like, I have no idea. Like, what are you talking about? I just doesn't seem I was born in 1986. And so my first Super Bowl, I'm happy to say for you guys, was the last Cowboys Bills Super Bowl. And so I missed Joe Gibbs, I missed all of that stuff. And so to hear that the Commanders are some crown jewel franchise seems incredibly foreign to me. And so I think they're going to be able to turn it around. I think the fan base is going to come back really quickly. And then Josh Harris is a good owner. He'll take a year to evaluate. He'll fire the people that need to be fired. I think we all have a pretty good idea of who that is. And then we can go from there. And I think that you're going to see a model franchise really quickly, because I don't think people get the way Philadelphia loves the Eagles, the way Dallas loves the Cowboys, the way that New York and Jersey love the Giants. That used to be Washington, and it will be very quickly.
Are they going to change the name again?
I hope so. Shouldn't they just go back to Washington Football Team or Washington Football Club?
I did like the football club, football team, better than the Redskins, better than the Commanders. The Commanders just feel forced. It's just like, I'm going to name my team something that commands you. I'm like, well, you are?
Also, any Snyder decision was bad, so just undo
right.
it.
Yeah, I think changing the name to something all new seems annoying, and just like, we got to go through this again. It's almost like I'm getting married for a fourth time. Got to change my last name over and over again. But I think the Washington Football Team, or even club, very soccer feeling, would be pretty cool. And I too see, if I were a Reds, whatever. If I were a fan of the Washington team, I would be very excited Snyder's out, because at least there's hope. It's just not bleak. It was just bleak with Dan Snyder's the owner.
That was the thing when I was watching practice that was so interesting to me, because I think that there was a feeling anytime anybody flaxed, whether that's Robert Griffin III, whether that's even Terry McLaurin, like there was just this feeling, or Chase Young his rookie year, there's just this feeling that Snyder was going to screw it up. Even if Snyder had taken Patrick Mahomes in 2017 he would have found a way to screw that up. There was no momentum. There was nothing building on anything. And now it feels like, okay, if we had this one kernel, this one shred of success, then we can build on that because we have a competent owner who's going to hire the right people, hire a coach who knows what he's doing, hire a GM who's going to stack talent. Like, it's just, I couldn't even imagine. Like, I'm a big Orlando Magic fan. I'm wearing a Magic shirt right now, actually. And it just felt for years, especially like right after the Dwight Howard trade, that nothing was ever building towards anything. And if we'd get a guy like Tobias Harris, he would have scored 20 points a game. It would go towards nothing, and then we'd give him up for nothing, which is exactly what ended up happening. But it's just, if there's nothing, if it feels hopeless, that touches every corner of the franchise very, very, very quickly. And it's felt like that, including in the fan base in Washington for since the Pennington era, I would say.
All right, three final questions. Caleb Williams, my question is, I don't know, is he going to be awesome?
Yes, he is. I think there's a couple of good quarterbacks. Drake May is really good. Riley Leonard at Duke is really good. Caleb Williams is probably going to be number one. Caleb Williams was on my show a couple weeks ago. I really liked him. Pretty thoughtful guy. He completely dismissed the Mahomes comparisons. Just said we're different people. He's got two Super Bowls. I haven't even won a national championship. I think he's an interesting guy. And I think the Cardinals are probably going to sell out to get him. And that's going to work. I think he's going to be really, really, really good. Some of the advanced metrics show him he's a little Mahomes-like. And so I do think that's going to work.
With the Cardinals seemingly tanking and with Kyler hurt, it's a weird position to be Kyler Murray because you want to play to show that you still can play. You don't want to play injured, but you also know that if your team gets the number one pick, you're out. That's just a bizarre situation.
Let me push back on that. So he's made a ton of money. He's due a ton of money. Arizona, not the best place to be from a franchise standpoint, not going to help you win. Isn't the best thing just being able to choose where you get to go?
But does he get to choose?
Money in the bank?
Does he get to choose,
well,
though?
Who's going to trade for him? Who's going to trade for that contract if he doesn't play this year?
Somebody that has the money and probably isn't very good also, right?
Well, maybe, or maybe they just wouldn't be able to. I think it'd be really hard. I mean, listen, we're in the post Carson Wentz era. Let me say that. Teams were willing to trade for Carson Wentz. And once that happened, I'm ready to believe any contract is tradable. So maybe there's that. But if he doesn't play this year and he gets a reputation as a guy who, doesn't want to play through injury or whatever, kind of like we were talking about earlier, I think he would reach free agency at least, or have to go 1 year in some stopgap place. He could choose where he wants, get a bunch of money in the bank, and he could go to a better franchise. I don't know. I think that the Cardinals are probably going to retool anyway, and I don't know if he's in their long-term plans just because they might have the first two picks in the draft next year because they got Houston's number one pick too for the Will Anderson trade. So they're going to remake their franchise, and I don't think they're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. with the first overall pick or whatever. They're going to take a quarterback if they get it. And so I think that the timelines just don't match up there. It's a new coach. It's a new GM. Kyler Murray is in the middle of his second contract. It's huge. Like, maybe a fresh start is probably better for everybody.
It would hurt my ego as someone who lives with an ego that the team that I'm on is being talked about tanking so they can draft my replacement. And he already is known as a guy with an ego. It would be awkward for me to be around the building at all.
I guess we're different. I can be paid off.
Fair. No amount of money, though. Ego.
As long as I have a number that if my bank account reaches it, I'm
okay.
Good.
That's fair.
And so Kyler's hitting that number.
All right. Final question for you here. this is a personal question for you. I mean, it really is Miami back? They're always back, but you know, are they back now?
Oh, God. I just saw that. Our super booster, John Ruiz, if you're following that, he's the guy who's been funding the NIL money, that he's been sued for. Apparently his company is a Ponzi scheme, according to the people who are suing him. So Miami's back to scandals, huge scandals, which I guess is back.
You're back, baby.
We're back. Well, we're getting sued for Ponzi scheme running. We know we're back. It's going to take a couple of years. I think they'll be good this year. They have Texas A&M, second week of the season, which will be a good litmus test because Texas A&M is also trying to get back. I think 2024 is more likely. I think they will get back to sort of a 10-win thing. But the problem is, Bobby, is like, and you know, Texas is like this as well, but like the competition for Miami recruits, South Florida recruits, Fort Lauderdale recruits is just way too high, and the game changed. And coaches, whether that's Butch Davis, Jimmy Johnson, used to be able to go around Miami with basically a sign-up sheet and say, hey, you know, we're going to take the 25 best players in Miami-Dade and Broward County. That doesn't happen anymore. And teams like Louisville and Georgia and Alabama are down in Fort Lauderdale every single day recruiting. And so that's the choice that's the state of play now. And we have to adjust to it and understand that, like, we're only going to get five of the top 25 guys in South Florida. And then once that happens, you go from winning the national title every other year to winning the ACC every 5 years, which is probably the trajectory they're on unless they improve quite a bit in the next couple of years.
We were talking about Slow News Day before you came on, so I want to encourage everybody else to go check out Slow News Day. It's a great show. And follow Kevin on Twitter, Instagram. It's by Kevin Clark, B-Y, yes, Kevin sir. Clark. Big fan. You know, my friends say you're cool, so you must be cool, because my friends are not that cool and they don't like to say other people are cool. So, you know, good to spend some time with you. And I'll say this.
I know who you're talking about, and those guys are not cool.
That's what I'm saying. They're not cool. So for them to say anybody's cool is that. So I'll say this. And my final thing to say is that I know you're a big Magic fan. I think you're going to be extremely impressed and surprised at Anthony Black. Like, that dude, he is, as they say, he's got the dog that lives in him. So you're gonna love the guy. You're gonna love him.
I'm so excited. With Paolo, Franz, like, there's actual. Even though there was no ownership change, it honestly feels like we have. It's a new day there. It's awesome, and I'm no longer embarrassed to wear Magic shirts around New York.
I was just handed this. Breaking news: Dan Snyder bought the Magic. Oh crap! Oh no! All right,
oh, no.
We'll leave you on that. Kevin, thank you for the time, buddy. Good to see you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, see you later.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks, Kevin Clark. Great interview. Love that dude. Hope to have him on again sometime soon. Now, you've waited all year. The time has finally arrived. College football back. And so are the traditions, the tailgates, and the great offers from DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any college football bet. Like I mentioned, that Vanderbilt and Hawaii has to come here, which, I mean, Nashville's cool.
But that's a long time.
But it's far for people to go to Hawaii, too.
Yeah, but you're going to
you go
paradise.
To Hawaii, I know.
Yeah, it's different.
I'd never want to play an away game if I was playing Hawaii, living in Hawaii. But we actually, yesterday afternoon, went and hung out with the Vanderbilt coach and
player. So big Vandy guy this year.
Big Vandy guy.
Big Vandy
Anchor
guy.
Anchor down, baby.
Anchor down. That's right. They're a 17 and a half point favorite.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Which is pretty cool. And we'll give you the parlay coming up on Friday's show. But kick off the season with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now. Use the code BobbySports. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on any college football bet. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code BobbySports. Put that in, please. Let them know you're listening. Bobby Sports. 21 and up in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Gambling problem. 1-800-GAMBLER in New York. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for full show notes and details. I got a couple notes that I made here. I was watching the BMW. I bet on the BMW. And that is, it was top 50 of the golfers.
Yep.
From 70 to 50.
Going to 30.
Yeah. Which happened, and Eddie's guy won. Stupid.
Yeah, Victor Hovland, man, I bet on him every week, and don't get it twisted. I bet $5 like to win, and usually where Victor is on a Sunday morning, I mean that's like $5 to win like 100.
Wait, so you only bet at Sunday?
Yeah, I wake up Sunday morning and see where they're at, and then
I thought you bet before the tournament.
No, and I usually see like all right, who's leading? Scheffler. Who's behind him? It's Patrick, no chance. Keep going. And then I'm like, ooh, Victor, like that's not bad. He's in the top four, top five. Like, let me put $5 on him. And dude, he won the whole thing. Good for him, dude.
I bet $500.
Oh my gosh.
Hold on.
It's a little different.
I didn't even tell you guys who I bet yet. I split it up a little bit because I know if I had.
Yeah, but I was just talking about $5 bets here.
Oh, I'm about to tell you how stupid I am. So I don't like sharing all my bets because I just feel like an idiot. But I wanted to spread it out a little bit because if you can hit a golf winner, there's so many golfers. Mm-hmm. And I bet it before the tournament starts.
The odds are amazing.
I want the really, really prime odds. So I bet four golfers and I spent $500 on four golfers. So $125 a golfer. I bet Ricky Fowler to win. He did not win. I bet Rory to win. Finished fourth. He did not win.
He had a good little run there. Oof. For a bit.
Yeah, he did. I thought he had a shot. I bet Jordan Spieth to win. He did not win.
Mm-mm. I think he missed the 30 too.
I bet Scotty Scheffler to win.
Oh,
that's the one. Yeah. And so Eddie
sends
me over his, hey, look, I bet $5 and I won. So I sent him mine back. I was like, I bet a freaking 100, whatever. And I was about to clean up.
That's our thing, dude.
And then Eddie's like, all he's got to do is it. Oh, it's pissing me off.
Well, I felt like you didn't understand the situation because you're like, shut up. I'm hoping for this. I'm like, dude, he has to eagle the next hole and it's a par four. Like, he's
got to. It didn't matter.
But I'm like,
stupid.
Shut up. He has no chance of winning. Like, you've lost your bet.
Hey, look at my bet slip. So dumb. I can't win a golf.
It's not easy.
So hard.
It's not easy, Kevin. Let me tell you Bobby's weird tactic. He usually bets on people, and not the four that he mentioned. He bets on people that he's played with before.
Yeah, like, that's true.
I did bet
Sam Burns.
Jordan Spieth?
Not in this mix, because I look back and I was like, when did I bet Sam Burns? I did bet Sam Burns by itself, $25 at the very beginning, and then he had a terrible first day. Then he went like 9-under the second day, and I was like, we're back in there, baby. And he lost. But yeah, I did. But Spieth, yeah. I played with Spieth twice.
Chess and Hadley, we met him at Pebble Beach, had a good conversation.
We text all the time.
Bobby texts
like,
with
you bet them to win, though, not even finish top 10 or anything?
Yeah. Dang. But sometimes I bet top 10.
Okay.
If it's like Chess and I bet top 10.
Okay.
And then he finished like 12th, and I'm like, God dang, dude.
Yeah. Did you call him?
Yeah, I text him.
Yeah. Like, dude, I had money on you.
What? Yeah, I wonder how that makes him feel. He's like, yeah, bro, I was trying to win the tournament for my career.
I didn't think about that part. I was like, I had a bunch of money on you. Thanks for letting me. Yeah, that sucks.
Well, congrats.
Victor. Congrats on your win.
Man, it's a trip to see him talk, huh, Victor Hovland?
I don't watch him talk because I'm always pissed I lost the bet.
Right, got it. So you don't watch the post.
What does he talk like? Can you
Well,
because
he's
like
from Norway and like, it's like he spells his name with a K and he's just like, yeah, man, I played a really good round today. And I'm like, whoa.
That's how he talks?
Yeah.
Not with a crazy accent?
No, I thought he would be like straight foreigner.
I'm never there. I never bet on him. So I, by the time my guy loses, I'm out.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I saw Giannis at the airport.
That was crazy.
You too?
Yeah. Both Bobby and I were flying in.
But here's my the problem that I have.
Well, me too.
Oh, you too.
It's too late. It's too late for me to realize that was him.
Okay. Thank you for saying that. Go ahead. We're coming in. We finished the show in Tampa. I'll just be honest about the whole thing here. Saturday night. And as soon as the show's over, we just get on the plane and fly back. We flew back private. And so we get back and we fly to the private airport because Giannis probably ain't going to be at Southwest Gate.
Negative.
Mm-hmm. Where we will be sometimes.
He's not flying Spirit.
Right. And so we walk in and I see a guy. I thought he played for Nashville.
He had a jersey on.
Is it FC or SC?
SC.
And he had a Nashville SC black jersey with a yellow tag across the front that said Nashville SC. And I see him sitting, and there's like four or five people in there. Just
you saw him sitting?
Yeah.
I saw him standing.
Oh, I would have known it was him then if he was standing.
He was standing. He was standing. I go, wow, that's a really big soccer player.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I thought that soccer player looks very familiar. How would I? I don't know any of the soccer players.
That's what I thought.
And so we walk out. I walk out, and my wife's behind me, and she comes out. She goes, do you not want to say hi to Giannis? And I was like, Giannis who? Like if there's any other Giannis in the world.
Oh, you mean Yanni.
Oh. She's like, Giannis was sitting in there just like hanging out.
She noticed him?
Immediately.
And didn't say a word to any of us?
And I said, how did you know it was him? She goes, well, I recognized him. She's a big NBA fan. Medium to big NBA fan. Enough to know Giannis.
Yeah.
And she goes, then he stood up. And I was like, oh, that's for sure Giannis. She goes, when he stood up, I for sure know.
Dude, he was gigantic.
You know what she said? He was so tall, but he wasn't as thick as she thought he would be.
That's accurate.
Was he in just like a jersey or like a lot of clothing or no?
Nashville jersey.
He was
jersey.
Winnie the Pooh. He had only a jersey on top and it was completely naked.
Nice. And you still didn't notice him?
Here's the deal. There were probably six or seven people there waiting. He was one of them. They all had Nashville SC stuff on and they were speaking a different language. So I immediately, my brain just went to their soccer players. That's it. Period. Then I saw Giannis. I go, that's a really big soccer player. I'm like, why would a soccer player be that big? Like, why would they want to be back? And I saw his face and I said, he looks familiar, but I don't know who he is. And he's speaking a different language. Don't know.
And all that, and you still, he was standing up. Dude, he was speaking.
He said
Greek.
Hello, Eddie, and you still didn't know.
He had a Greek salad in his hand, a basketball in the other. The Buck mascot was standing behind him.
It said Antetokounmpo in the back of his jersey.
God dang.
But you know, like, I had the same thing. Somebody was just like, wow, you didn't say hi to Giannis? I'm like, oh my goodness, that's Giannis. So I go back.
You went back?
I went back and he was walking out the door.
Would you have said something?
Absolutely. I had my phone out ready to take a picture, 100%.
I would have said something because when I go up to people, they never know who I am, but I have such a weird name, especially in a place like that. They just are like, Bobby Bones, it's got to be something. So I'm just going to act nice.
That's good. Yeah, that's true.
Because he would have no idea, but if I said, hey, Giannis, I'm Bobby Bones. Good to see you. He'd be like,
sure.
Actor, singer, oh God, I don't know.
And pirate.
He just would have, yes. He just.
Anything, man, who knows?
And usually they're just nice at that point because you just say it with like confidence.
Yeah.
Hey, man, Bobby Bones.
Right.
Oh, cop. Hello.
And there's a chance, you know, he listens to the top.
Trust me, no chance.
Country top 30, man.
I don't think so.
No. Nope.
But it was pretty cool. I was like, oh, yeah, that was freaking Giannis.
Yeah.
I did see Rory when we were playing at the
Memphis
FedEx St. Jude Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Getting all my classics mixed up here.
A lot of classics.
I did see Rory walking downstairs and we were there and we weren't teamed up with Rory. We were teamed with Sam Burns and I don't know, some other dude I never heard of. Victor Hovland, I think.
No, it wasn't. I'd never heard of him either.
But he was a top 70 golfer, mm-hmm. which was weird. And so we go and we're all practicing and everybody's there. You just stand around and Rory's coming like 5 feet from me. I'm just about to go, hey, Rory, what's up? How's it going?
Bobby Bones.
Hey, Bobby Bones, yeah. And DJ, my brother-in-law, my caddy, goes, that's Rory. And I'm like, well, now I can't.
Oh, no. Loud enough for Rory to hear?
Well, maybe. So yeah. I couldn't be like, hey, Bobby Bones. And he's like, no, you guys just geeked out on me.
Uh-huh.
So, but I would have said hi to Rory.
Rory ripped.
Rory was put together well, but he was in a golf shirt and jeans, but he wasn't like a bodybuilder, but he definitely was in shape.
Is he tall at all?
No, he's short.
Short, right?
Well, you know, when I watch, I have him kind of pinned out the way I think they look. I see him short and stout.
Is he a teapot?
I knew you were going to do that.
God dang, man. He seemed pretty tall. I don't know.
Okay. Tall?
He was walking downstairs, so he was above me.
Okay. So that's why he was tall, because he's upstairs.
I bet he's probably 5'11".
It says 9.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. That's short, dude.
Which means he's 5'7".
Did they lie on that?
Yeah.
Wait, so Giannis, that's, I mean, he looks 7'3".
Yeah, they have to be honest about basketball height, though. At least more so, because that's actually part of the game.
He's listed at 6'11".
Yeah.
Giannis is?
Yeah.
That, to me, when I saw him, like, that's 7. That's over 7 feet.
You're close.
High.
You're close.
Yeah.
You guys check out our video show. It's up. It's at the link in my Instagram or it's on the YouTube page. You can go to Too Much Access Bobby Bones on YouTube. Too Much Access Bobby Bones and watch, because Eddie and I went to the Carolina Panthers training camp and hung out with those guys. We have South Carolina coming up and you can watch us playing ball with this guy here. By playing ball, I mean, he's good and we're not.
Yeah. He's awesome, man.
Yeah, he's such a good dude. Like, they're also really young.
Yeah. You don't realize that, you know, because
you just feel like people are on TV are older and smarter. Yep. But Takarion Jonah was awesome. So here we go. DK.
DK. He followed me on Instagram. Did he follow you on Instagram?
He did.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. He's a redshirt senior who's been with the program for 6 years. He was granted another year of eligibility because of COVID. He was the MVP in 2021's Duke Mayo Bowl as a quarterback. He was named South Carolina's Mr. Football in 2017 while in high school. He was nominated for the Warfel Trophy this season, awarded to a player who shows a lot of active work in their community. You can follow DK on Instagram, Carryon Joyner, or at 20. He had a weird name on Twitter. Can't_stop Cinco.
Yeah, I think he's wearing number five. Yeah.
Got it.
Or can't stop five. Cinco. I like that.
Yeah, but the names are way too different.
And is he still number five?
Yeah.
He okay, is. Good. All right.
But it's like you need the names to match.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
You know, one way or the other. Here he is. Really enjoyed it. Here he is, South Carolina running back, Takarion Joyner.
So this is the indoor facility.
It is.
How often do you guys get to come and practice in this air? It feels good in here.
Yeah, it does. Never.
Oh, that's why? Because it feels good, so you don't get to practice
in here? We're never in here. We're always outside, man.
This is like one of the nicest indoor facilities I've seen.
It honestly is. Like, you know, I grew up getting recruited in different places, and this is definitely one of the most impressive indoors I've seen in the country.
What about South Carolina? When you came, what attracted you to come to South Carolina?
The fans. We have very, very, very loyal fans. I always say, know really, really well. They're one of the best fans in the country. But they're very honest, which I definitely appreciate. That's what I wanted to be a part of. But definitely a family atmosphere makes me feel at home. I feel all the love from here. So that was definitely one of my top priorities for staying here.
Coach Beamer, what's he like? Do you ever get to spend time with him as a dude?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But the thing about Coach Beamer, he's always Coach Beamer. On the field, he's a coach, but off the field, he's a really good guy. Very, very personable. He wants to be involved within your life, your family life. We're a really great guy. Cares a lot about each and every one of us, and that's what we appreciate the most about him.
What's the hardest position? Because you have played them all. All 12 positions, and there's only 11. You know what I mean? That's what it feels like. Like, you've made up positions.
Yeah, not for sure.
What's the hardest playbook-wise to have to learn as part of the whole scheme of the offense? It's got to be quarterback, though, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say everything. That. Yeah, quarterback for sure, but the good thing about me, I started off there. So I kind of started off at the highest and the hardest position playbook wise, but then from there on, it kind of gets easier. But all the positions kind of tie into quarterback.
If you play wide receiver after you've already played quarterback, but you kind of know, sometimes I'll be interviewed by people, but since I interview all the time, I know what they want.
Exactly.
So if you're a wide receiver, you know, like, the little things that you, right?
What the quarterback wants, and that's the beauty of it. That's why I really enjoy wide receiver. Now I'm playing running back, but wide receiver is definitely cool because, like you said, like, you know what the quarterback wants. You know what I'm saying? So I've seen it from both perspectives, so that's why that was kind of like my edge playing wide receiver.
So you're playing quarterback – are you playing running back this year?
Yeah.
Did you have to put on more weight since you kind of in the middle of it more?
I didn't have to, but I did. I think it was definitely beneficial for me being able just to take the amount of blows that I'll be able to take. My strength staff and my nutrition staff have done a great job of allowing me to, be at the weight I'm at now. And I feel prepared. I feel strong. So I think it was definitely beneficial for me.
Did you lose any speed at all?
Not at all.
So you gained weight, but you didn't lose speed? I don't understand.
Straight the conditioning staff.
So you... Okay, so if I have one
of the easiest pack.
Well, if I have one of those, then I'll gain speed, and even if I gain weight,
I promise you.
God dang!
Well, what are we wearing?
Good weight though.
Yeah,
good weight though. Not that weight.
Do you have to eat on a regimen to schedule?
For the most part, but it's really all about what you eat. High protein foods, not a lot of carbs and stuff like that. But I was able to, I kind of do a balance of both. And while I train and lift, that kind of just adds on well, kind of balances stuff out.
If you are a quarterback and a wide receiver and a running back, you've played all the skill positions basically on offense. That means at any time in the backfield, you're in motion. You're then you're basically a wide receiver even though you're coming out of the backfield. And I'll say this, NFL-wise, pro football-wise, like, that is what is wanted in the NFL now, because guys that just run the ball up the middle, as valuable as they are and as strong as they are, you're seeing now that NFL teams want them for one contract and they're done. But it's the guys who can catch the ball as well. Do you feel like there's a real value for longer than this year with what you're doing?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Especially you see guys like Deebo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, a lot of guys in the league being able to play a lot of different positions. Bijan Robinson coming from Texas, going to the Falcons. So definitely my value and the value of playing multiple positions is definitely being able to do a lot of different things. Being able to be an asset to multiple different positions and being able just to be an asset to a team. Definitely unpredictable. You want to be an unpredictable guy. You don't want to be one-dimensional, especially not in this league where defense is getting a lot of faster. And, guys super talented now. So,
TK, you're from Charleston, so you're not far from here, from home. When you were growing up and you were obviously such a good athlete, did you know all the other good athletes in the area?
And there was a club?
Yeah.
Oh, I never got invited to that club.
Did you know them, and did you, you guys, keep up with each other?
Oh, man.
Yeah, for the most part.
There is a club. God damn.
Hey, we're not in it.
He said, yeah, I didn't even know there was, a group like that. One text message thread of all the good athletes?
It kind of actually was. I was blessed enough that a lot of the good athletes went to my high school. But we had a lot of different guys also around the city that was pretty good as well. So we definitely all supported each other, kind of being where I'm from, North Charleston. I'm not the most prettiest place. It's a place that a lot of guys don't really come out of. So we definitely use that to our advantage and, stuck with each other. Was able to just communicate with each other, kind of uplift each other throughout that time.
I'm a little upset at that. All the cool kids have their own place to hang out.
I knew it.
And then here I am over there just waiting for any text message while they're all like, hey, how fast you run today? How's your protein intake? Golly. Feelings are hurt. When you were a kid, was playing college football a reality to you, or did it seem like, man, that's only what people do on TV?
Yeah, not at all. I kind of seen it. My dad was like a Florida Gators fan or something like that. But I never thought it was tangible. I mean, it was always a dream, but I never thought I was going to have the opportunity to actually go play college football. So I didn't really pay a lot of attention to it. Not inside. I was about 14, 13 years old whenever I received my first offer.
You got an offer at 13, 14 years old?
13 from here.
Wow. Wait, hold on.
You're going to hurt his feelings again, DK.
You're 13 and you got an offer from the University of South Carolina?
Steve Spurrier. I know I seem old, but yeah, definitely.
So does that come like a letter in the mail?
No.
Does he show up at the house?
No, this was an in-person thing. I came here.
That's awesome.
Off of Bluff Road where they used to practice. I came to a showcase because they were already kind of recruiting me. And then I came to a 7-on-7 tournament. I showcased my talents and I was blessed. He called me on my way home on the bus and offered me a full ride scholarship. I didn't even know what it was at the time.
At 13, I didn't have armpit hair. And you're getting a full ride scholarship.
Yeah. I definitely didn't know what it was until my coach explained it to me. And then I realized I was going to have an opportunity to pay for school and get a free education. So then I was, all for it.
When you were in ninth grade, did you play much on the senior high? How did it work at your high school?
So in eighth grade, I played junior varsity. My freshman year, ninth grade came. We already had a quarterback that was playing already. So they kind of tried to put me in different positions, but it kind of really wasn't my thing. And then I took over at quarterback towards the end of the year. And went on and had a successful career at quarterback.
What year?
My freshman year.
You started at quarterback your freshman year.
Yeah, and then 2015, I was 15 years old. We won a state championship, 15-0, at Williams-Bryce Stadium.
Story's getting crazy.
Were you just so much faster than everybody? It's like rookie league on Madden, like rookie mode. Is what it feels like. Like I can run, a corner all day long. I know if it's one-on-one, if there's a single high safety, I know they're in man coverage. I'm about to bust around. Was that what it was like for you, that easy?
I mean, it seemed to be. My freshman year was kind of difficult, but once I got the hang of it, I played quarterback. Everything was kind of just natural. I mean, I was blessed with the abilities to be able just to ball like that, I guess.
I never balled like that at anything.
No, we weren't blessed with that ability at all.
DK, what was it like? Like, did you come back? When you committed, did you come back and tell all the 13 girls, hey, I'm going to South Carolina? Like, I'm already set.
I didn't even have to tell them.
They knew.
They kind of already knew. I was blessed for the national spotlight to be able to, everybody kind of paid attention to it. So I didn't even have to tell them.
Who did you decide between did you commit at 13?
Nah. So I actually went on to receive 52 offers from schools all across the country. Everywhere I had in mind, but my last two schools was North Carolina State and here, so I was battling between these two schools.
That's crazy.
Hey, so were you just like King Dingling, dude, in the hallway?
He's he is right now. He has been at 13. Like, he's Like, I now submit to you. You are my leader.
So what is life like? Like, seriously.
Like,
the whole time?
Your whole life. Like, tell us about everything.
Start from the beginning.
Yeah, so you're born, right? They're like, this baby's awesome. You got a scholarship offer out of the womb. Spurrier saw him come out. Wham! Cut the umbilical cord. That's a heck of an umbilical cord. We offer him a...
I see the movie already.
Yeah, what is it like being, like, that dude on campus?
No, I mean, it's definitely a blessing, man. I don't even look... Honestly, I don't even look at it like that, man. Until people come up to me daily, you know, kind of express their gratitude for me, talking about how much they appreciate me and stuff like that. But, I mean, I'm a very humble guy, man. I don't even look at it like that. But, like, I guess it's cool being able just to... I have a lot of supporters that I really appreciate, man. But it's been cool, man. I really appreciate it. I try to take advantage of it and just show love and support to everybody.
We're like double his age, fawning over him like a fangirl.
I know.
That's showbiz, though, baby.
Hey,
that's...
when he says taking advantage of, like, what do you, like, call the restaurant?
DK coming in. Yeah. Table four.
DK coming in, please. Got all my buds coming. I mean, I don't want to just, I mean, to a cent, kind of. Maybe.
Yeah.
I just want to say that. But
let's go.
I do. I can be like, yeah, I'm coming.
Yeah.
Hey, clear the club. We're
Bojangles. It's DK. We need that booth in the corner.
It's definitely a blessing, though. Able just to take my family out, get a reservation wherever I want. You know, just have a good time. It's definitely a blessing. A perk to a cent, but I've definitely earned it. And I'm blessed in that.
All right, final three questions.
Yeah.
You talk about family. You got a new family member about 5 months old now, huh?
Oh, yeah.
What is it like being a dad?
It's everything. At first, I was definitely scared. At first, I think that's a lot of people's first reaction, being this young. But it's been everything, man. It's been the best thing that ever happened to me. Being able to wake up to my daughter's face every single day keeps me going. Definitely my why.
I'm going to ask you a personal question, DK.
That wasn't personal about a baby?
This is a real, real personal one. Do you wear a cup?
What?
And I'm asking this because my 9-year-old son, he's playing football. And he's like, I told him, you need to wear a cup, dude. Like, when you play football, hands fly everywhere. And he's like, it's uncomfortable. I don't want to wear it.
A cup? Isn't that from like the 60s? Do you wear a cup?
I used to, but I don't even think they make cups anymore.
Yeah, I don't either, dude.
Well, I found them at Dick's, dude. They have cups still.
Well, we don't provide cups.
So you're like, if a hand comes flying at you, it's
you just got to take it.
Wow. That is not good. I don't like that. I don't like even that. It's not that I don't like the question. I don't like what
that's
I'm
saying. That's a good question.
That hurts. It just hurts. That hurts so bad.
Yeah, that's why I told my son, like, you want a cup.
Oh, I'd grab. If I was a defensive player and he came through, I'd grab a twist. I'm just letting you know right now. I would because.
Grab a twist.
Yeah.
I'll make sure I'm never playing against you.
Yeah.
I might need a slide over.
We're always on the same team. That's the way to make sure.
But, you know, people do grab, like.
Like bottom of a pile? Bottom of a pile?
Bro, I've never got grab.
Okay. I wouldn't do that anyway. I was just kidding. Yeah, no way. No chance. All right, final question. Here we are. This is your last year.
It is.
Like, what's the goal of your final season at the University of South Carolina?
Yeah, I mean, the ultimate goal is to win a championship. I mean, I know it sounds cliche to say, but all the twos are in front of me. All the twos are in front of my teammates. For us to have one of the biggest successful years of all of our lives. But I know me personally, my personal goal is just to be healthy. Be healthy for all 13, 12 games that we're going to have. So I know whenever I'm healthy and I'm the best version of myself, my team is better. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a good asset to my team. So I just want to be the best version of myself, be healthy so I can help us win games.
We appreciate the time.
Yeah, appreciate you, man.
It's awesome. Like, this hand was got to offer at 13. This is like,
yeah, you are
look
awesome.
Look at that. Yeah, hold it. Wow. Hold it extra long.
That feels cool.
Like my new hero, man. This is crazy. Okay, good luck, South Carolina Gamecocks. That's a dude right here. Wow. Thank you, guys.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, that's it. This is first episode of season two of 25 Whistles, where our plan is to only do 25 episodes.
But we're going to do more than that.
I don't know. What the plan last year wasn't.
We were supposed to do 25. How many did we do last year?
Ooh.
70?
70-something?
Yeah, we were close to 80, dude.
I know we for sure got to 69. That I do know.
Why do you remember that?
So if we're in the mood, we just do another episode.
Yeah.
We're only contracted to do 25 whistles, and that's we blow at the end of the show.
That's what I like about you, dude. You know, like you agree to something, and you're just like, eh, we'll do more than that. Me, I'm like, what did we agree to? 25? You got it.
We did 71.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I want people to know if they work with me, they're going to get as much as I can possibly give.
But you're not scared of setting a precedent?
I didn't set it 25. I set the precedent 25.
Well, now they're like, he did 71 last year.
It doesn't matter.
So if we do 68 this year, dude, we're in trouble.
Contractually, 25 whistles.
Okay.
May we do 60?
That was a little excessive. 71? You promised 25.
Or did everybody get paid because we did so much? And they're like, wow, I'm going to bring you back and give you a big deal.
Wait, you all got paid?
Don't worry about that. Anyway.
That's it.
Wait, what?
We got a new logo. It's me as a referee still looking pretty good. New shot.
It's a new referee shirt.
Yeah, nicer. I don't know what head that's from, though.
Hmm.
I don't know what picture that's
from. You're happy wherever that was from.
Happy as a freaking clam.
Mm-hmm. I think it's one of your new headshots.
It has to be.
Yeah.
I wonder which one it was. Thank you, guys. We will, you know, please like, go to the 25 Whistles feed. We do extra episodes over there sometimes that are smaller. And if you don't mind, go over to 25 Whistles feed and follow the show over there. Like it. Also, the YouTube. And we will see you guys on Friday. Right, Mikey?
Yep.
All right. Blow us out, Kevin. All right. Here's the first whistle of the year.
Woo.
All right. See you guys next week. Bye, everybody. This week. See you guys this week. Okay. Bye, buddy.
Yeah. All right.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.